welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune, and before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
So, just rebounding to last week real quick, it was a shootout. You guys were up big in the first half. They came storming back in the second, but you guys survived. So, just what was the feeling walking out of that one?
It was a great feeling. Those are the honestly, the type of games that I think reveal a lot about you and your character, and our kids demonstrated a level of maturity that I don't know that we had had prior to then. So that's great, and what a huge asset going forward.
So just kind of rolling off of that, we talked about it after the game that if this was a month ago, that we kind of agreed that they probably don't come out on the right side of this. And doubling down on that point, it was the defense that stood tall at the end of the game with the blocked field goal and the stop in overtime. So just how big do you think that is moving forward?
I think it's huge. And to go back, remember we started the installation of our version of this defense in the middle of July. You know, in my previous life, our kids had it for 10 years, you know. So obviously, I hope anyway, that, you know, with repetition, experience, and to be honest with you, faith, that I do think with some of the things that people think, say, and do in society today, sometimes kids do need evidence. And hopefully they have a little taste of that evidence now about how good we can be.
So you've been playing bigger schools for quite a few weeks now. You get a smaller school finally on Friday. So is that just a relieving feeling at all?
No, not at all. But I mean what I say, that every week has its own lifespan. And I've been convinced for 20 years now that whoever we're playing during a given week is a reincarnation of the 1986 Chicago Bears. So I'm sure we'll have our hands full. Moberly's well coached. Their defensive front is big, strong, aggressive. So it'll be a tall task.
So what do you think is the main focus for this week? It's the last week of the regular season. You guys are pretty locked into where you are for the postseason. So just what do you guys focus on mostly this week?
We want to keep getting better. You know, we certainly haven't put it in neutral and thought about just having it in autopilot or anything like that. We've prepared like crazy, and we look forward to the opportunity to continue to get better. We can't take steps backward or even stay the same for a week if we hope to be the best version of our team when November comes.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And Trevor, I think we've got to spend a fair amount of time discussing that game last week against Battle, which the Jays won 48-41 in overtime. First things first, even their record, even Steven for the season, but both 4-4 overall and 3-3 in the CMAC. So big from that standpoint. But where do we begin with that game last week?
I guess we begin with the really hot start that the Jays came out with. They jumped out 14-0. They were up 27-7 and then had the 34-13 halftime lead. They were throwing the ball pretty effectively in the first half. They were doing a great job of disguising targets over the middle. I know they used their tight end, Zeke Duren. They lined him up at left tackle as an eligible left tackle and used him for a couple big gains down the middle. The long touchdown to Kendrick Johnson, he was hidden behind the offensive line. So schematically, they had a pretty good game plan in the passing game last week. And then, yeah, the second half spiraled really quickly.
Yeah, it did. Although I will say, you know, it seemed like it was going to spiral to the point where it was just going to, things were not going their way enough, where it was just going to be, it was just going to kind of keep snowballing. And I will say, you know, even to the point where, I mean, what, Battle's knocking on the door of a game-winning field goal at the, you know, in the final seconds of the game, and Jays are able to get a block on that one, which you go, how many times do you see that in a high school game, first of all? But second of all, just how big of an emotional lift was that for a team at that point who had seen, yes, got out to a big lead, blew the big lead, and almost seemed like they just had things going against them. That had to be just, I think, so key to getting that, finally getting the victory.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. There's no doubt about that. Me and Coach Wells talked about after the game, if that game was 3 or 4 weeks prior, they're not going to come out on the right side of that. And I mean, it's just one of those things that when it started to spiral, they finally stood up to the adversity and they faced it head on. And I thought it was even bigger that it was the defense that made the plays at the end of the game, because it's been no secret that the defense has been a little bit behind the offense so far this year. So yeah, the defense not giving up a big play on that last drive and letting them run in for a touchdown and forcing that 22-yard field goal to have Battle complete the comeback. And then, yeah, obviously coming up with the huge block, second block kick they've had so far this year. They're pretty rare in high school football, because you don't see a lot of field goal attempts. But, yeah, that was a huge play. And then in overtime, the defense standing tall again was just another huge positive takeaway, because, like I mentioned, it seemed like early in the year when their defense got wore down late in those games, they just weren't producing. So it was really nice to see that.
So it's almost like you go from, you know, a week after week after week of CMAC teams where you're kind of, you know, a lot of people, you're familiar with the foes. It's kind of, there's a lot of familiar storylines that are popping up in these things. Then you get to this final weekend of the regular season where it's just like, this is the last week before we get into district play. And it's just kind of that weird, you know, matchup with Moberly where you go, okay, that's fine. You know, it's going to be a lot less, I think, of an energetic boost that you're going to get from playing a lot of those CMAC teams. Plus you have to go on the road to Moberly. So how much of this week is just being prepared and being ready to go when it's time to start this one?
Yeah, and it seems like that's a major focal point headed into the week. I asked Wells, like, you guys are looking at a bye week next week. It is finally a smaller school that you guys are playing. Like, what's the focus level headed into this? Are you guys just worried about staying healthy, that kind of stuff? Are you worried about being at your best at the end of this game, so when you come back after the week layoff that you have a nice starting point to go off of? And it seems like they're taking this game very seriously. It is an inferior Moberly team. There's no doubt about that. First time they've played since, I think, 1957 or 58. Okay. I was surprised how much they played in the early days of the programs. But yeah, it seems like the focus is, every week the focus has been getting better. And it seems like that's the same thing this week. They know they can't afford to get worse in a game or even stay complacent. So it seems like the focus levels are pretty high headed into the regular season finale.
It is, you know, it's surprising for, you know, teams that haven't played for, you know, that many years and don't play very often. It's kind of interesting to see, though, that this year that they do kind of have a lot of common opponents on the schedule, from the standpoint of, you know, both have won against Osage, both have lost to Hannibal, and then you know, the Jays were able to beat Smith Cotton, Moberly lost to Smith Cotton. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, obviously I don't put too much stock in common opponents, because it just, sometimes it's dictated by the matchups or whatever those teams do well. But it is just kind of funny to look at this year where you're playing this team that you don't normally play, and they've actually played a lot of the same people you've played this year. And you're both coming in 4-4. So it's kind of one of those things where, kind of a lot of interesting similarities as far as these teams go, but it is kind of one of those things where, yeah, it's been a long time since they played Moberly. So first of all, I guess the most important part will be just figuring out how to get to Moberly's stadium, because they haven't been there in so many years. Other than that, what's the biggest key once they do get to Moberly for them kind of going into this one tonight?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of similarities between the two teams. So they both run similarities to the wing T offense. They both come in with the 4-4 record. They've kind of had the same style of up and down season. So, I mean, the biggest key is going to be coming in and imposing your will early, showing that you are the bigger and better team early in that game. And then once you get up, it not letting the foot off the gas pedal and making sure that you stay focused for the whole 48 minutes and play a complete football game, because we still haven't seen that too many times from the Jays this year. So, it is a letdown spot, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything if they lose, but you want to be at your best at the end of the regular season, and they keep trending towards the direction of playing their best football. They just haven't been able to get all the pieces working together yet, so this is the week to do that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're right in that they've kind of had this You know, they won, they lost, they won, they lost, and then they won last week. So you want to make sure you don't lose this week. Let's get out of that rut. And again, I think it's worth noting that, yeah, this is the last week where it doesn't necessarily hurt you if you have a loss. Next week's when it's win or go home time. But you want to be trending in the right direction, and you don't want to be developing any bad habits. So obviously I feel like this is, it's not necessarily a must-win game, but it's a must-play-well game, I think, for the Jays.
Yeah, and they already kind of ran into this situation week one against Osage. They knew they were the better team going into that, and they kind of had that attitude with them coming into that game. And then you look up at the scoreboard at halftime, and the Jays are only up 14-6. And it's like, well, what's going on here? They fixed that in the second half, and they played a lot better. But that was a mentioning point for Coach Wells this week. It's like, hey, we know we can't take this opponent lightly because we kind of did that with Osage and it almost came back to bite us.
So you kind of mentioned a little bit, but I want to kind of drill down on a little bit more too, is that while last week ended well for the defense, it still was a game where the defense gave up 41. And it's a, you know, we gave up 38 to Helias the week before that, and then they've kind of given up in the 20s the previous three games before that. So how ready is this defense, I think, to get to the point where it's going to be able to make a contribution once we do get to the postseason?
They've been trending in the right direction for probably about a month, headed into the last week, and then we kind of saw the early season problems arise again a little bit. The big plays are biting them. I think they gave up three touchdowns and more than 60 yards, two of them in the running game, one in the pass. So the tackling in space was an issue for a little bit in that game, that's for sure. But they were going up against big, talented players. Goolsby and Ricky Dunn are definitely two difficult people to tackle. Daquan Wright also bit him a couple times. So headed in the right direction needs to start again this week, because obviously you have the bye next week, and then you have the home game, and then Hannibal's looming after that. So those big, talented, physical runners, you're going to see them again in Hannibal. Sure. You're going to see Aeneas Williams again if you keep winning. So I mean, it's got to start again. I guess from the standpoint of last week, yeah, there was the rough period and then they recovered. So you kind of have to look at it. It's how we finish the game. That's how you have to take it into the next week and build off that instead of looking at the negatives, because they've been looking at those for a while throughout the early part of the season.
I think the only cause for concern, I think maybe from my perspective as they head into this one, is I think this could be an easy win for the Jays. I think it could be a win where you see a lot of, like you said, some of those backup kids playing, maybe get some JV kids some time in a game where this one might get out of hand if things go well for the Jays. So the only concern I would have then is if maybe we don't see the starters all the way through this week, then you have a bye next week. Any cause for concern when you do get to that, for, you know, that's district semifinal where you maybe haven't had everybody playing and getting regular reps for a while?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that's a concern for the Jays. I asked a question similar to that to Coach Wells. Like, how do you view a bye week? Some coaches don't like it, which I mentioned that I don't understand. It's a week to get healthy. It's a week to prepare for your next opponent. And, yeah, like I just mentioned, some coaches love it because it is that extra week for preparation. Injuries haven't been a problem so far this year for the Jays, so okay. I don't think reps and chemistry playing together should be a problem that arises, because okay. They have been playing together all season. You haven't seen much plug and play, so I don't see it being a problem, but you never know.
Okay. All right, I guess I'll just ask you flat out, who wins this one tonight?
The Jays should win this one, that's for sure. It would be kind of alarming if they didn't. But I do think that Moberly kind of keeps this close for a while, but then the Jays figure it out. So I'll go in the 20 to 28 point range of victory. Let me do some math here. We'll go 48 to 20, Jays.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.